MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial service provider. I'm chatting with Michael Jordan, co-founder and chairman of Bank Zero. Michael, appreciate the time today. Corporation for Deposit Insurance, a bit of a wordy title, but in essence, deposit insurance has arrived in South Africa and individuals are now insured for up to 100,000 rand in case of a bank going bust.
Yes, it's a big moment in the development of the South African financial system. We've had a very robust banking system. It's actually very highly regarded in the world. At the World Economic Forum, we're typically number one. But we've had our share of bank failures. There was a mini bank crisis in 2008. And people will still remember the failure of African Bank, for example, and more recently of VBS Bank. Now, what that means is that depositors have always been quite careful to whom they allocate their life savings. And typically, there's a preference for big banks. People think big banks are too big to fail. And this has made it tough for smaller banks to compete. But that has all changed since the 1st of April because we now have this formal deposit insurance scheme in South Africa.
I want to talk about how it's going to shake up banking, but quickly some mechanics. I mean, my sense is, for example, VBS, ultimately the government stepped in and paid up to 100,000. So there was a bit of insurance, but of course, that's taxpayers. This will be paid by insurance from the banks, from the fees, which of course they may just pass back to us anyway, but it's not going to be government responsibility anymore. This is the crux of it.
Simon, that's exactly right. We've arguably had an implicit deposit insurance scheme to date in the sense that small and nearly by definition less sophisticated depositors have been bailed out. But as you rightly put it, that has been ultimately at the expense of taxpayers. And that's not what you want. And that's the reason why nearly every other G20 country already has a deposit insurance scheme. And South Africa is a bit late to the party, but thank goodness we're there now. And yes, so banks will have to pay a levy based on the deposits that are covered. It's a small levy. It's 0.215% a year. You know, it's not negligible, but, you know, that is the estimated risk. And that then goes to the deposit insurance, to CODI, the council, which will then administer this. And it's therefore self-financed by the banks, which is the right way to do it.
And you made a great point. If I'm looking to open an account, one of the things you always worried about, because as you mentioned, this is your hard-earned savings, you're worried about that bank not being there in the morning, which means there has been a natural inclination to kind of move to the big banks because they're the too big to fail. They've been around for hundreds of years. This suddenly makes the smaller banks, you know, Bank Zero and many of the new recent entrants into the space, a lot more attractive, and we're going to potentially see some good shakeup.
That's exactly our view. So we're very, very excited about this because it effectively means that all customers, and this isn't just retail customers, but it also includes nearly all businesses and corporations, as long as they're non-financial, they can now look for the best bank, you know, whether that's the ease of opening an account, whether it's low or zero bank fees, whether it's great service, and of course, great rates. And you know that 100,000 rand per depositor per bank will be guaranteed by the scheme. So we expect a lot more competition, and we think, you know, customers are now going to go to the innovative banks that gives them the better deals, not just the big ones.
Yeah, I take your point, absolutely. And one of the things, and this is data from Saab, who says that it protects about 90% of depositors. In other words, the vast majority of our population. But of course, that's only about a quarter of actual deposits because there's a skew towards some of the wealthier. We might also see folks just having a couple of multiple accounts just in case. I know someone who was a victim of the Silicon Bank in the US last year. And fortunately, they had that. So they were able to make payroll on the Monday morning.
Yes, all those figures are exactly right. The scheme has been deliberately constructed in such a way that 90% of depositors by number will be covered, even though by a random amount it will be less. Because obviously there's some big corporations and professionals that have really big deposits. They too will probably apply diversification in any event, you know, spreading the deposits across the various banks. That's just good risk management. But you're quite right that individuals and other businesses can now do the same for smaller amounts, up to 100,000 rand per institution. So you really should see, and this is what has happened in other markets, that money that used to go to just the big few banks, let's say South Africa has a big five, is now far more likely to be shopped around, including to the smaller banks.
And there's some innovation here as well. And you refer to them as Bank Zero. You refer to it as a members of a club, which could be a stock file. And a lot of stock files are really small. Truthfully, most stock files are unbanked because the big banks just, and I've spoken with the stock file associations before, they can't manage the process. They're just not ready for it. But the way you do it, it's each person in that club's an individual. So suddenly a stock file, it makes a huge amount of sense.
That's exactly right. So this is a large phenomenon in South Africa. It's how people save very, very often through stock files, but they haven't always been protected individually. You know, so a stock file on its own could go up to 100,000 and be protected. And that's the way we understand it will work with most of the banks, unless you individually identify every single member of the stock file, which is something we do at Bank Zero and can quite easily do because it's all based on cell phone technology. So every single member of a stock file is now not only gets updates when they want on their phone, but is protected by this deposit insurance scheme. Yes.
An important point here is that this is now automatic. I've got money in a bank account, and as of 1 April, it is now protected. I didn't have to do anything. I don't think I've had a notification from my bank, but it just comes in automatically.
That's exactly right. So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything extra. You can just sleep a little bit better at night.
A question, and maybe there isn't an answer to this. Why is this happening only in 2024? I mean, it just, you know, you mentioned the banking run in 2008. I remember Sumbo, which was around 2003, more recently VBS. We haven't had a lot of collapses, but it just seems to something which makes intuitive sense for a banking industry.
It makes intuitive sense. As I mentioned before, it's a facet of nearly all developed banking systems in the world. We are one of the last, if not the last, G20 member that has done this. It has been talked about for many, many years. Actually, yeah. I can recall even 30 years ago, you know, the research started. It started more in earnest about 10 years ago. I suppose one could say there are people who are, you know, less positive about it because they don't need it. But certainly for us as a small bank, we're very, very excited about this because it certainly changes, if not the actual risk that people had when they were banking with Bank Zero, it would definitely be the perception that they now have. And basically, the whole range of banking options and competition and innovation is now available to them without having that extra worry of, you know, will my savings be safe?
And I take your point. It's not fundamentally changing the risk, it's perception. And perception is, I mean, so much about money is around perception. A last point, the one thing South Africa does have, and it gets talked around a lot, is that we have a strong and innovative sort of financial services sector very, very broadly. Truthfully, what we've really seen in the last couple of years with the lack of Bank Zero, and as I said, other entrants into the market, we really are pushing boundaries in the banking space. And I don't mean risky boundaries, I mean innovative boundaries.
I think a lot has to do with the smartphone. First cell phone, but now the smartphone. You know, the percentage of people who buy them is increasing all the time. They're becoming cheaper and cheaper. It's the way that we're leapfrogging many industries in the world, but banking is typically one of them. You could argue that there's even a battle out there, not between conventional banks only, but between conventional banks and telcos who have wallet type of technology. And then you have these new challenger banks like Bank Zero and others who are coming in. They don't have the traditional cost structure that old banks have. And yet the new customer does everything they do on their phone. We wake up, it's the first item that we reach to. It's probably the last thing we put down before we go to bed. And, you know, if you had to start a new bank today, you wouldn't do it with branches and with massive head offices. It would just be a cell phone challenger bank.
Yeah, I always say those legacy banks with 150 years of history, it's a proud history, but it also means somewhere in the basement, there's a ledger they have to keep up to date because of that. We'll leave it there. Michael Jordan, co-founder, chairman, Bank Zero. Appreciate the time. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial service provider.